Hey everybody, it's your girl Joy Has Questions, and I am just over the moon for the special guest that I have today. But you know, before I even get into that, I have got to cover You Better Know. Today's You Better Know is being brought by the amazing and irreplaceable Thomas Fuller. Now, I am going to completely take out my disdain for math, because the thing is, it's not that I hate math. I'm just fucking scared of it because I have never been good at it. So I'm going to stop saying that I hate math. What I'm going to say is I never really put the effort also to fully love it the way that I do everything else. But there's an ancestor who definitely did love math, and at every chance that he got, used it to show that intellectually, slaves were just as intelligent, if not more intelligent, than their captors, and therefore should not be fucking slaves. So, Thomas Fuller was an African slave and mathematician born in 1710, died in 1990. And the reason why he is so known is because he had extraordinary powers of mental calculation. So there were no TI-95s. There was no little calculators that you could write, 4011 and turn it, or 1134 and turn it over and it says hail ho, like all the little petty things we did as kids. He was his own calculation system. So he was shipped to America in 1724. So well before America was fighting for its freedom, but clearly when it was still in its colonial state, engaging in the transatlantic slave trade, at the age of 14, he was born in what is present day Liberia and Benin. So he basically rose to fame because he was used as a tool by abolitionists and those who clearly were always just, saying slavery is wrong, this is not acceptable. He was used as a tool or as an example to prove that the argument that slaves are mentally inferior is a bunch of BS. So the calculations that he was known for doing was not something that was just, super special to him. He could just do it to an even higher extent. But apparently there was evidence that's showing from even John Bardo's 1732 account about the abilities of the inhabitants of Fida, or what would be present day Liberia and Benin, saying how Fidians are expert in keeping their accounts that they easily reckon as exact and as quick by memory as we can do with pen and ink, though the sums to never so many thousands, which very much faculties the trade the Europeans have with them. Basically, it was this way of saying, we can't fuck with them because their math is together. So one of the favorite accounts that I have of Thomas Fuller, and I refuse to call him what he went to be known as, which was Negro Tom, was the fact that two white men, very learned, came to where he was, or the neighborhood where he was, specifically with the intentions of trying to stump him in a math problem. So they heard what he was known for, his extraordinary powers in arithmetic. So they asked him basically how many seconds there were in a year and a half. It took him, this is in the 1700s, y'all. It took him 2 minutes to basically say there are 47,304,000. And then they said, when asked how many seconds a man has lived to his 70 years, 17 days, and 12 hours, he basically said, took him a minute and a half this time, but he said 2,210,500,800. So one of the men had done the calculations with a pen and was excited because they were like, oh, no, you got it wrong. And so he calmly just told him, stop, master, you forget the leap year. What? Like, who even goes, I don't even know what I just read, to be quite honest, because numbers, my anxiety. But the fact that this man was such a profound mathematician and his life was reduced to slavery and being called Negro Tom, and the fact that he was owned by some random white woman in Alexandria, just boggles my mind. Because it is stories like this that definitely he should be on the same pages as Galileo, or the same pages of, Isaac Newton, or any other well-learned man, an Einstein, whatever, in terms of him being able to completely revolutionize this science and this field. But he died at 80 as a slave. So I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention, that in the 1700s, there was a man who was one of the baddest mamma jammas ever to do it, our ancestor Thomas Fuller, who basically just, I don't know if he was born into the wrong time. I don't know how to even surmise this, but it's just a matter of knowing that His life was not in vain. His story should not be in vain. For everyone who thinks that, oh man, we just got Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, y'all, we have literally pages upon pages, years upon years, millennia upon millennia of bomb-ass ancestors that have been slaying since the beginning of time. Lucy was found in Africa, just saying. So now moving right into introducing my amazing guest on Joy Has Questions. Hello, what's up everybody? It's your girl Joy Has Questions coming to you live from the City of Wind, hoping, praying that the sound quality is one of spectacular nature, that you don't hear random cars going past or, you know, cigarette cancerous smoke fuming through the mics. So definitely just wanted to make sure. I'm so petty. No, basically, y'all probably like, what the hell is this bitch talking about? No, I'm kidding. Yes, it's your girl. And I am sitting here. I have known this young man since I was taller than him, since me and his two sisters used to make fun of his fashions. And now he is at his girlfriend looking like, oh my God, they really know you. No, I have the one and only Aziz Laka, a.k.a. Laka Films, is here. Hi, love.
Yo, it's your boy Laka. Okay.
Just so you know, I don't give a fuck about your title. I will call you Aziz until the cows come home.
Yo, it's your boy Aziz.
Thank you. Okay,
but like... everybody call me Laka, so.
No, peep industry. No, I'm kidding. So, long story short, we definitely have known each other for a really long time. Now that you have like a public persona, like, I guess a little bit of influence, a lot of influence. I will give you your due respect. You definitely are one of the top videographers. I don't even want to say just out of Chicago. I definitely see you as being one, coming up and being one of the top music videographers or directors in the making. So
thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, love. We're going to get right to the trash, which is my amazing segment called So According to IG. Ever since Michael Jordan left the NBA, I haven't given a damn about basketball. I really don't care. Everyone out here, you know, in their spare time trying to put out albums and fuck Drake's bitches. So I'm just like, I don't have time for the NBA. But I did see something of someone by the name of Rajon Rondo. He sounded like a character from this live-action Aladdin. And then there was also...
Chris Paul,
the one that looked like a Kinkachu, like he got them honeydew eyes, like he looks very teddy bearish.
Yeah.
But clearly they were beefing, and apparently a fight broke out. Yeah. Then there was somebody by the name of Ingram. Okay, I was about to call him Deshaun Ingram. Brandon, he came through with like the Monstars hook and like cracked somebody in the face. I say that to say, do you think there's ever an acceptable time in sports to just, like, lose your shit? I haven't seen a fight, and nothing will ever compare to Ron Artest and Jermaine O'Neal. Hands down, best altercation I ever saw in sports. Is there ever an excuse, though, to just lose your shit in a game? Like, y'all get paid too much money.
Yeah, I would have buzzed off him, too.
Why?
He spit on him. I don't know if you
Hold
saw
on.
Like-
I watched it from several angles. Was it, I tried to, or let me take this mouthpiece out so I can articulate the shit I'm trying to say to you?
I mean, I feel like, you know, it just really comes down to, like, how everything is perceived. So, like, one person sees it one way, the other person sees it another.
Gotcha.
And I feel like when you, like, hot and you in the moment and you feeling some type of way, you don't really know what is what. But, I mean, if you get it suspended a couple games, like, it don't really mean nothing when you're making millions per game. And then when you really look deep into it, it's the beginning of the season. Nobody care about these damn games. Like,
and,
right now.
This might as well be.
Now,
like,
if it was the playoffs and you did the goofiness, then that's one thing. Like, oh, your team depends on you. Now, one goofy will be Ingram because he's just a nigga. Like, he literally had no reason to come across field.
I was like, wasn't the problem between, like, who's the one weird? He looked like a clump, but like a fit version of him. He plays for the Rockets. He's black. Yes, that one. Okay. So I was sitting there watching and I'm like, was it the altercation? Like, didn't he get the technical? Wasn't it them?
I wasn't watching a game and I haven't watched NBA in a few years just because I stopped hooping.
So I don't because you don't play, it. You don't care to watch.
I don't care.
Once we stopped winning, I stopped caring about the whole league.
So, like, I don't even know what happened that game. I was just watching replays and, like, all these Instagram snippets and stuff like that. I don't know. At the end of the day, it's just all unprofessional. Like, it's a professional sport. You're not supposed to do it, point blank, period. But it is funny.
But you having standards and shit. Like, the rules say.
The rules say. But it is funny and fun to watch and interrogate. It just feels like high school drama.
Here's my shady part. Why did the wives get involved? Ooh.
Because they ratchet.
Okay. Thank you for... I'm sitting there like... there's no way in hell I'm messing up my good leathers because these niggas out here fighting. What? Y'all can work it out.
You know, Stephen Curry's wife wouldn't do nothing like that. You know what
I'm
saying?
Well, that's because she loves Jesus.
I mean, it don't really matter. The point is, like, if you got you a good individual, you won't have to worry about all that nonsense. But, you know, when you catch you one of those little ratchets with them environments that can't really help themselves, you know what I'm saying? Then they got to do that you dig. You feel me? And you got to deal with that you dig. And it's fine. Like, some people like that. You know what I'm saying? That's why you got them on your side. Like, oh, if my bae fight, you know, I'm fighting.
If he's fighting, I'm staying out of a grown man's business. Hey. I am here to hold watches, to make sure no one tries to steal your chain, because that's when all the vultures come around. But I am not getting in a physical altercation. So, okay, good perspective. Moving right along, I feel like this would be someone. Bow Wow, would you ever do a video for him? Bow I really want to know.
I mean, honestly, I do a video for a lot of people.
Really?
Yeah, just due to the fact that, like, money's involved.
And,
like,
do you think he would pay on time?
I'm so weak.
I get, I'm like, would you accept a Cash App from him? Would it have to be?
We don't really work with artists like that. We kind of work with labels, so they pay. So even if he don't pay, they pay. But, like,
then you're not going to do the video.
Bow Wow had his little... I ain't had no money then to show me how to talk.
That's when Evergreen Plaza was open. Like,
they used to be, you allowed me together, baby.
Sierra done went through four dudes since then and got a whole ass five kids. The answer is no. That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing a strong no until you can verify that the growing up hip hop checks have cleared.
I do a video for Bow Wow. I did a video for Soulja Boy.
Wait, hold on. Here's the let's talk about that.
Anybody.
But the thing about the difference between what I feel Soulja Boy or even a Lil Romeo, you know, with his, you know, rap snacks or whatever they sell, them little, you know, down south treats, they know how to pay their bills. And on top of it, Soulja Boy actually ain't broke or stupid. I guess the thing is, like, when you've made your, would that be a hindrance? It's like when you've made your career kind of like the fact, like, yo, there's a hashtag called Bow Wow Challenge, which is all about people lying, like, and saying they living a life or doing something that they aren't. So I'm just like...
I mean, you can't never really know what's in somebody's pockets, though. Bow Wow can have bread and just... Like, you know so many rich people who buy fake change. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just really never
Chad Ochocinco put me onto that. And I was like, I appreciate a man that's like, no, I get my jewelry from Claire's. Yes!
Right.
Because niggas don't know the difference between DVVS or, you know, a K.
Or a Patek or a Rolex. Like, it don't really matter. It just depends on, like, the person. So, like... Again, like, it's so many people you think falling off that's getting royalties to the day they die. They got money stacked there, or they just not living as large as they are. But, like, at the end of the day, like, everything is about connections and your network, because...
And what you can get someone to believe.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, shit, people still see Bow Wow. Like, yeah, let me get a picture of Bow Wow. Let me do this. Let me do this. Bow Wow. Like, he's still a celebrity. Like, I know you probably won't, but he's still a celebrity in some people's eyes. Like,
how old are you?
I'm 23.
Okay, so I've always been, like, several years older than you because I'm 29. So, no, but that's the thing. Like, when you came up, I'm assuming it was, like, B5, you know, like, or, you know, or Mindless Behavior. I don't know. For me, it was, like, B2K, Bow Wow. So, I'm, like, I kind of feel like those ships were passing anyway by the time you were a preteen teenager. I wish you wasn't a dancer going, hey, yo, man. Play that like Fresh as I'm is. Like, that was my thing. I accept, you know, that sad part of my life. I definitely listen to it, so.
But, I mean, people still know you to know you, you know?
True.
Like, there's so many famous people that don't do shit and people know. And, like, they'll still just be like, that's that person. Even though if they don't have any influence or anything.
Can we
people
please talk
find
about...
out somebody famous and they'll just be like, oh, yeah, this person relevant. Let me be a dick rider. You know what I'm saying? Like,
clout chasing, rewarding mediocrity, surrounding yourself around the culture. Man, just all these themes I continue to see repeatedly in Chicago and elsewhere. Okay, then. So I know you have not had time to watch TV when you're out here making things that go on television. But in terms of like T.I., everyone like is loving the fact that, you know, the hood Heathcliff is back with T.I. Family and Friend Hustle. And basically, like, they're shaping it up in terms of him trying to win Tiny back. Oh. This is the perspective that I want to know. And I don't know if you follow T.I.
I didn't even know he lost Tiny, to be honest. Like,
I mean, they've lost and found each other many a time. Like, their whole relationship is insane.
Man, I don't watch reality TV.
Really?
No.
Why?
It's not my thing. It's a waste of time.
It is, but you don't sometimes feel like laughing at people who make ridiculously stupid decisions?
No.
Okay, I can respect that.
I think, like, when I watch TV, it's Power, How to Get Away with Murder.
That is reality like that. Television.
Well, technically,
it's I'm convinced the whole show is made because 50 Cent just wanted to be petty. Like,
I mean, well, that's one. But, like, when you look into it, it's just stuff you can kind of relate to, and it's like a little theme and a story plot behind it. Not just kind of, like, stalking somebody's life and seeing, like, what they do every day. Like, I don't care about no damn T.I. I don't care about no damn Tiny. Like, that's nothing. But, like, Power, like, it hits, you know, love. It hits drugs. It hit, like, you know, laundering money. It hits, like, topic stuff.
That, our
like,
favorite things.
Yeah, yeah, nigga shit. Anyway. I mean, it's just something entertaining. And it's like when you have like a plot where you
Aziz,
got like...
Aziz, I saw you go to mosque with your family every Sunday. You were not cutting keys, my nigga. Like,
I mean, don't get me wrong. I never really, like, you know what I'm saying, participated in these things.
That's your
I mean,
escapism.
I definitely know so many people who do. And we did go... I mean, it was a user friend. I mean, it's the environment that we live in. I mean, you know people in our old building who used to do goofiness...
You know,
I see them sometimes. Yeah, I see them sometimes, too. Like, oh, man, I wonder how life is going. You know what I'm saying?
When my mama kept me in the house, and I was like, oh, she lame. She can't go out. But who is broke?
And lame now.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I came across a couple.
You still wearing Anichi? Okay, sis, go for yours.
I see a couple. So, yeah, I don't know.
That makes sense, though. Okay, so last but not least, I have... Because I'm addicted.
Go ahead.
I'm addicted to this hood couple. Literally, just love watching them. I think it's like a University of Chicago dissertation. I think it's levels of blackness. I think it's different. Like I actually look at them from a perspective, not on shade, like as a perspective of like, what are those limits between like matching your mate and disrespect? Or is it toxicity? Or is it like ghetto black ratchet? Like it's...
But I think, like, it just comes down to, like, I just feel like when it comes down to, like, celebrities, especially, like, Chicago celebrities, like, you're not really expected to, like,
be in stable relationships.
Yeah, yeah. Like, realistically, like, an artist, especially that's, like, 18, 19, 20, 21, where they, like, traveling all the time, you're not really around. Like, I feel like it's a kind of known thing that they're kind of doing their own thing. As long as you don't get caught doing your own thing, then it's, like, fine. I think that's how it is, like, in this type of industry.
Do you agree with that?
Do I agree with it? You're
I'm
not.
Really curious
here. Well, damn. Okay. Well, take a seat, sis. But, like, we definitely can edit that part. Like, shit. Everyone, that was his girlfriend for 2 years who looked up from her book, like, let's all hear this answer.
I mean, I think what it just comes down to is, like, I'm not in the industry because I just work with them. You feel what I'm saying? So, like, it doesn't partake to me.
That's
it,
like saying, I don't do crack. I was just in the house.
No, that's not what it is.
Okay.
It's completely different. I think what I'm trying to say is, like, it's levels to it. Like, you have people that surround celebrities that can't dare do as what celebrities do because we don't make as much money as these celebrities.
You know what?
Or have as much power as these celebrities.
All jokes aside. No, you're right. Because so, like, when I worked with my uncle at Live Nation, I was surrounded by celebrities. Yeah. There was no way in hell that I had the freedom or the leeway while I was under that Live Nation umbrella to be doing half the shit that they was doing backstage.
So, like, even, like, if you look at it, like, I'm a video producer. You know what I'm saying? I just shoot videos for these niggas. That don't mean I can do what they do. The same with, like, beat producers. Like, you just make beats. That don't mean you can do what they do. Makeup artists, like, damn, some of y'all niggas broke. So, like, you can't do what they can do. When you really look at it, like, the reason why I just pay attention to all those celebrities and they do their kind of own thing. And like, I don't know if I necessarily agree or disagree with it. It's none of my business. But my point behind it is I think it's just like a known thing and like the celebrity lifestyle because like it just happens on a regular.
I think that's something you actually bring up a really good point.
It's normalized. Let's put it like
that. No, it totally.
It may be some few faithful people out there. But I think female, it goes on the other side too. I think people don't realize that. Like, I think like the Beyoncés and all these people, they get their dick from whoever they want to get their dick from too, and play niggas the same way guys play girl. You know what I'm saying? I think it's just like, you know, you do your thing, I do my thing. When we together, we a couple, we look good, we like each other, we love each other, we're the best. But, like, we can't really be around each other that much, or, you know what
I'm saying? We have to fill the void somewhere. Yeah,
it's a lot of temptations. All that shit.
Very true. I mean, which is why I've always said, like, that's just not a lifestyle for me. Just, I mean, and that's also based on how I was raised. Like, exactly. I had two parents that were
not
together.
Folding. Huh? I said, not folding for that shit.
Right, exactly. So I'm just like, I'm sorry, you slept with who? Okay, so let me pack up this bag like LeBron. Be better another day because I'm out. Like, nah.
It's just funny because it's like even broke niggas can do it. You know what I'm saying? So it's not even a celebrity thing. Broke
it's
niggas be out here doing it. Exactly. So it's like if you can deal with that lifestyle, deal with it. If you can't, then find somebody that can deal with it.
I can't deal with the jail time associated because I know my response would be one of violence. And premeditation. So I can't even go under the... I was just so angry. I thought the pine saw was apple juice. Like, no, I thought about that shit before I did it. So
yo, that's like one of them girls that was in Madea. That's ready to...
Take that out. I fucking hate that reference. Don't you dare put that in.
I had to.
Like, did you really just call me, like, one of Tyler Perry's bitches? No.
No. One of Tyler Perry crazy actors, they'd be like, if you're not with me, you're not with nobody. Foul, foul, foul.
That hurts my heart. I look unstable. Like, that's really what you just
That's
said.
Not unstable. That's just you ain't with the shit.
Very true. So that wraps up. So according to IG. Well, I do not know what you all will be drinking come cuffing season 2019 that is currently upon us. But for those long, lonely winter nights where he lied and said he was coming over and he did not. Make sure that you have Cavassier VSOP to ease the pain. It kept us posted in the summertime, and it'll definitely be here for the wintertime with that smooth, velvety taste that we all love. So make sure whatever you are drinking, that it is Cavassier VSOP. And now back to Joy Has Questions. Now moving into what you all know, my fave part where I get to get all up in people's business, but they tell me the truth because I'm not a messy person. moving right into I have a question. Like I said, I have known Aziz Laka since I moved into our childhood building. And let me just keep it real. I was not, you know, trading recipes with his sisters. We all weren't outside playing double dutch. It truly was just a thing of like...
We lived in the same building.
We were neighborhood kids. And we had the same type of parents. So we couldn't have been friends if we wanted to. Because our parents were like, no, you're going home to study. When you see them in the laundry room, that's your kick it moment. Like, and that's what it was. So everyone loves Aziz. A lack of films. Oh my God, give me a shout out. Mm-hmm. What y'all don't realize is his sisters are lit as fuck. One is a doctor. One is at U of I getting her life. Isn't she in finance?
Yeah, she. I have no idea what she's in.
Okay, whatever. It's a degree.
Public health.
Come on, Zen. I am so proud of them.
Yeah, she already graduated. She's doing like her master's.
So you are the low achieving Laka. No, I'm kidding.
Actually, I'm not the low achieving. I graduate in December.
Hey.
Oh, drip.
Thank you. And that's another amazing thing because knowing like what your price points are in terms of like the services that you provide, I'm just going to be honest. I'd have been said fucking education.
Already said it a couple times, you know, go back, you know what I'm saying? Dropped out.
But it expands your opportunity. So yeah. How did you go from being truly the skinny as a rail, glasses wearing middle child? Damn, I wish I had photographic evidence. But how did you go from that to I look up and you in bread factories and like sitting here by like asphalt and like doing quick cuts with smoke screen? Like, how did this happen? Don't say God. Like, I want real answers.
I mean, realistically, I guess it's a cliche answer, but it's hard work. Like, I kind of did a lot of comedy when I was, like, younger. So, like, I really wanted to be a comedian. So, I know that's, like, a thing.
Not even me, but you are funny.
And I, like, started a YouTube channel and just was kind of doing that. And I started doing parodies. People thought that was really funny. So I was like, I'm not finna do the keeping it real, talk, laugh, ha, ha, ha. I'm gonna do parodies and then like make fun of people who do music videos because I thought I was creative and I can like put word. I had like good wordplay, stuff like that. And I had to pay somebody to do that. I got tired of paying them, so I learned how to do it myself. And I already been chopping up videos here and there. Then one of my friends said they'd pay me $50 to shoot a video. So then I was like, fuck. You know what I'm saying? I'm not making money from this YouTube comedy whack-ass career. Let me go ahead, edit some videos. And then got me a little mentor. I mean, pretty much, this can be a long hour story, so I'm just going.
We're not, skip, but okay.
Right through it.
Skip the LinkedIn version.
Skip all of it. I just got a mentor, went hard, found the artist I wanted to keep working with, worked with him back to back to back. He blew up, I blew up.
Who was the artist?
Famous Dex.
Famous Dex, got yeah. you.
So once he blew up, then I got tied into labels. Now I do videos for labels. Now I got my own YouTube page with 500,000 subscribers. Now I got an Instagram fan base. And now I'm just competing with the big dogs and just want to get bigger and bigger.
And having clothes that fit, well, God, like, that is a beautiful thing. He brought you through it, and now you are out here making moves. Yeah, super proud. So I know, like, case in point, this is one thing. You have always seemed to have a very strong sense of self. And as funny as you are, like, it's coming, like, you definitely seem to have your head on your shoulders, which I personally would always attribute to your parents or just, like, the family you were raised
always,
in.
Always, always. Nigerian parents don't play. Y'all know that.
Nigerian neighbors don't play. I would see them and be like, hi, Mr. and Mrs. Laka. I'm going home.
So weak.
Okay. But the thing I wanted to know in terms of when you were, you know, deciding this course that you wanted to take. Now, the stereotype was like, you have to go into the medical field. We don't, what are creative arts? Like, so how did you leverage that in terms of, you know, not doing something that was STEM based?
I mean, realistically, I did my pharmacy thing. I got my farm tech license. I was in school to be a pharmacist. So I was like already on that path, 3.7, like a good student, all that stuff. And then I just kind of like wanted to do this. I was doing it on the side. And then like, I just wanted to do it. My parents told me no. It was just that simple. No. And then I was like, yes. And then it was that simple. I just did it. Like, and then it's just like a little altercation. There was a lot to it. You know, a lot of personal stuff. Long story short, stopped going to school. Easily got kicked out the house. Kind of did my own thing. You know, had a little
adventure with that. We all have those growing pains. Just yeah. In the sense of like, let's be real. These are people that have seen, you know, themselves putting you on a certain path. And this is where you're going to go. And then when you don't do that, it's just like,
wow.
What, I'm sorry. Like,
this isn't my child.
Right.
It can't be.
I'm sorry. I think you thought my question was a real question. No, I'm asking you to tell your ass you were about to go to school.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are definitely growing pains. And now they definitely can see that it has paid off, like literally and, you know, figuratively.
Yeah. Still don't understand it, but they see it, I guess.
I find parents, as long as they know, can he pay his bills? Is he okay? Then fine. Like, I still can't explain. I never could explain my job to my dad. Like, he literally would just be like, it's TV and I see your name on the screen for something. And I'm just like, it's okay, daddy. Just, yes, I work for Channel 5. So moving into like figuring out who you were in this industry, because you work with a lot of like guerrilla style artists, like, and what I mean, girl, I mean G-U-E, like, R-R, wait, G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A, sorry. Warfare tactics, not the animal. Calm down, y'all. When it comes down to it, how were you able to, you know, not even gain their trust, but basically, like, weave in and out that world? Because I know, we all know, you come in clean cut, they are not necessarily clean cut. They like wearing whatever their fashions are, they dripped up, they iced up, and here you come, hey, guys, and they're like, who is this? Negro, like, what are you doing? So how were you able to, like, still relate to them?
I think that, you know, when you're just from Chicago, like, you just Chicago. And like when you from Chicago, people from Chicago know Chicago and they gonna respect Chicago. True. So like you don't gotta be gangster because that ain't me. You know what I'm saying? But when I'm me, they respect that because like I still talk like I'm from Chicago. I still got the slang. And a lot of them kind of like grew up in the same circle. Like people don't understand like how small Chicago is, but it's pretty small. And the south side of Chicago is even smaller.
You know like, how everybody asks like, what school you into? That's all you need. Exactly. If you get the school, like, and we ain't talking college. We mean like
high school. If it's Hyde Park, Kenwood.
Exactly.
CVS, King. Yeah. Y'all know the drill, man. So that's what it is. And like you just get tied through social media and like all these guys that you hang out with, you know, they get baby mamas, they go to jail, they sell drugs, they scamming, you know what I'm saying? They doing their thing, you know what I'm saying? So like you kind of get tied into all that. You don't necessarily have to do all these things because I can't relate. But I can't relate to just being around these people. So like people have already seen me around. So they like, no, like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm still not a bitch. So we can just, you know what I'm saying? We can put leave it like that. So I think like people just, you know what I'm saying? And then when you grown, everybody just fuck with you off. Like everybody, so the industry, the way the industry works is like, if someone can use you, they don't really care how lame you are. Like the lamest niggas can make the most money because they find it beneficial for them. So it don't really matter about like how you look.
And sometimes you don't even have to be black.
You definitely don't have to be black for mm-hmm. sure. You can just be white. You cannot even have listened to hip hop one day in your life. Nah. If they find that you're beneficial to their career, they'll use you.
Look up and it's just like, huh, how's this person getting into all these social settings? They ain't put in none of the work, none of the struggles, but somehow they're there.
Hey, it'd be like that. Money talk.
It does. So does sound quality.
So does clout.
Oh my God.
Cloud is like the biggest drug out here.
It really is.
But hey, cloud been around forever. It's just called marketing.
That's really, when you think, that is very true when you think about it. Cloud chasing is nothing but how can I position myself to be around people that represent whatever illusion or whatever images I want to put forward.
You know what I'm saying? But people in the game know what's real and what's not. So if you just run around taking pictures with people trying to act like you're relevant, people know you're not. Like, your work gonna speak for you. So, that's what's cool about the industry we in. We weave out the lames. So, it ain't no such thing as clout chasing.
Woo, that's a word. I could wrap up real quick right there. I am gonna ask, like, in terms of, like, your own personal brand, how mm-hmm. do you see it, like, growing and maturing? Like, clearly, I know you want to branch off into, like, the video production that you're doing. I could totally see you taking lots of films. Like I know you in LA all the time anyway, so it's just like, do you want to develop this more so into TV shows, movies? Like what vein do you want to stay in, or where do you see yourself going?
I mean, it's all about planning and just like looking ahead of time. It's a lot of stuff I want to do. It's hard to decide. Like the way I kind of ran things my whole life is kind of run and gun, so I'm still running and gunning while I'm trying to plan. But I got a lot of things that I want to do. I mean, I definitely want to make a movie one day, but that's like when I'm older. One goal that I'm working on right now is I'm trying to like get bigger budget videos. So like my top videos right now, like 15K budgets, but I got people in the industry that like I'm tied to that's getting 90K budgets, 100K budgets. So like that's the next step for me for sure. You know what I'm saying? Just get like a 25K budget, 30K, 40K. Keep working my way up.
Grow your brand, yeah. Exactly. And then, it's basically the same as like getting a promotion. Like, keep having your work speak for itself, yeah. So you can get higher and higher on the pay scale.
And then I wrote out some ideas for like, I kind of want to do like a series show, like a YouTube series show. Like it's YouTube? Just a thing for me. Yeah. I mean, I grew up in the YouTube wave. That's just us. So people can put in TV, people can do whatever they want, but like I got a platform and I got an agency that I'm kind of like with that. Like if I get enough hits off my first couple shows, they give me funding to make like a whole thing from it, you know what I'm saying? So that I can just take stuff to the next level. I want to work on the documentary for sure. I already know what it's about. Not telling nobody because they're gonna steal the idea.
If you take my
brilliant
idea, I'm gonna be so mad.
Nah,
we're fine. Not discussing. I'm just saying.
Great minds think alike, but it ain't the same.
First off, little boy, don't come in here just because you got like a baritone voice and your like, teeth are straight.
Hey, don't get me wrong though. Like documentaries can be hard. Like everybody just got different things they want to show. You know, exactly. Shit be just as hard. And I think you know, what it is about right now is just building out the brand, you know. I just want to get a lot of stuff when I graduate. And
let me know when the graduation party is.
I probably don't throw one, to be honest, because I'm lame. But, and just planning stuff out and just taking stuff to the next level, better videos, bigger team. And I want to get into, like, real estate and all that other stuff. But that's some personal stuff. That don't got really nothing to do with, like,
multiple streams of income. Yes.
Yeah. Also, yeah, I'm definitely building out the brand. So we doing blogs. We doing concerts. We doing everything. Lock Film do everything. Don't worry. Just wait on it.
All righty. Well, I am very, very proud of the young man you have become. You've always had a solid head on your shoulders. Love your family to death. They are, every time I see them, it's like, hey, y'all. Like, we run in a, like, pancake house or something. I'm like, hey, y'all, what's up? So I definitely wish you nothing but all the success that you definitely will receive, because you are a super hard worker. And your lovely girlfriend came here, sat, listened to us bullshit, and was just chilling.
She used to.
Don't you dare grab this candy. It's going to be sound feedback, Mr. I produce shit. You know that.
I know, but I know how to do it silently.
Fine. Let's see. Watch. Okay, fine.
I'm a boss.
Whatever. But no.
You're a hater.
No, thank you so much, love, for coming on the show. So today's motivational message. I'm just going to preface this by saying, so I went to church today, something I had not done in a very long time. Shout out to Tot, because, or Tot Jones, because my girl had definitely been encouraging me to go back. And just, I am not someone, also let me preface this by saying, who firmly believes I have to go to church. But at the same time, I am someone that, you know, was raised in an environment of regular religious study. Now, have I fallen off the wagon and into a briar patch? Most definitely. But that is still the core, the root of who I am. I definitely know that all my blessings, all the good things, all my trials and tribulations, and the fact that I've been able to overcome them have been because I have a merciful Savior who is constantly protecting me and letting me know how amazing I am. So with that being said, my motivational message is more of a confession, and if anybody wants to feel that they, you know, can take something from it, go right ahead. As this year is wrapping up, I am super blessed and super happy with everything that I have accomplished. This joy has questions. I feel like I'm really taking off of my brand in ways like never before. But I feel like I have stifled myself at times. Or there have been too many occurrences when I look back this year of me being overly anxious based on me looking at somebody else's journey. What? Joy, your whole platform is empowerment and black magic and celebrating one's voice. That is great. I am happy that everyone remembers those key pillars. But when I heard that message today, it literally just knocked my head back. Like, I feel like I feel spent. Like, I have a headache now outside of the fact that my cousin made me sick. Because I really just, don't you look at the time frame to cut it. I know your tricks, Mariachi. I feel spent because the messages really sank into me. And it was this: looking at somebody else's journey will completely destroy and keep you stagnant in the destiny that God, and if you don't believe in God, the destiny that a higher power has for you or on your life. So if you are wondering at times why you feel like you are repeating cycles, if you're wondering sometimes why you're doing good, but you just feel like you can't get to that better phase, if you're wondering at times why you're just like, huh, this monotony, I'm putting in the work, I'm putting in, you know, my 10,000 hours, why is this not matriculating? Why is this not necessarily turning into what I wanted to? I heard something today that literally like just, woo, made my chest hurt. And what was said was, if you're not willing to give everything that you have to God, if you're not willing to give everything that you have into trusting the process, that will be the one thing that is used by God to humble you. And I sat there, I'm like, as much as I have put into Joy Has Questions, as much as I have attached, you know, like literally this is like a child for me, I wish I would put myself in a position where it's used to humble me. If anything, I want it to be used to reflect the glory that I know has been instilled in me by God. So as a business, I wanted to do that financially, to multiply, to become fruitful and become many in many different aspects, whether it's a podcast or writing or, you know, me working in collaboration with my day job, whatever that is. I wish I would sit there and let that be the one thing that is my downfall because I'm too busy focused on what other people are doing. Well, what are their stats looking like? Well, is this, where do I compare in the bigger thing? Well, how did this person get this many followers? Or should my page look like more like her page? Should I stop cursing or should I, you know, just be myself? Because I do curse a lot. Should I do, like, stop it. I'm sitting literally on some Thomas Fuller calculations. I'm just sitting here like spinning myself into the ground instead of being tunnel visioned on what it is that makes me happy about this brand, on what it is that makes me happy about myself. I am not going to let the very thing that I literally came up with as I sat in a church and came back after I had one of the worst days of my life, and now turn around and let that be the very thing that keeps me from my happiness. That's insane. So to anybody else, and I know how easy it is to look at Instagram. I know how easy it is to look at other people's pages, be like, well, I know my picture look way better than theirs. Why did they get that many likes? Or why is their engagement better than mine? Or this girl Levi ain't even blended. What the fuck is going on? Whatever it is, those voices. Our words can be for good. Our words can be for bad. My mama always used to ask me this. Every time you say something about someone, are you speaking life into them or are you speaking death over them? Because that is how powerful our words are. Maya Angelou said, one day I think our words will be so powerful that they will stick to the walls. They will drip down our upholstery. They will physically be present. And that truly, truly means something. Because that means everything that we say, what we affirm about ourselves, is truly what we are putting out into the universe and that what is what will come back to us. So I don't want what comes back to me being a brand that is good, but that could be infinitely better because I'm too busy limiting my destiny because I'm basing my success on what somebody else is doing. I don't want any of us to be our own holding pattern. Let's stop repeating some of the lessons that we keep learning. Let's start being confident in ourselves and truly put the blinders on and say, fuck the madness. If this is not benefiting me, if this is not me surrounding myself around people who truly care about me, if this is not me being empowered, I don't care about going to influencer events with a bunch of people that I don't talk to in my personal life or that I don't vibe with or that I know got a brand that ain't reflecting their own personal journey because they crying in private but trying to sit here and give you a contour face in public. I want to be happy in myself, happy in my journey, and not looking at somebody else's and judging the success of it. Because when Joy Has Questions started, I had 434 followers. Today I have 4,000 and like 55. I don't even know the full total. And it's still growing. And more people are still hitting me up and saying, thank you for what you're saying. This is really helping me. It's really benefiting me. And that is why I truly do it. So I am super happy when I'm winding down this year in terms of where I feel I have been. But I want, if anyone is listening to this, to know, don't worry about what somebody else is doing. Because when your heart is really in the right place, God will, it will seem like you have just skipped to the front of the line. It will seem like, where the hell she come from? Like, I ain't even, okay, well, she popping or he got it going on. And it won't matter how many other pictures you weren't tagged in or how many events you didn't get invited to or what somebody else was doing. That's my message for this week, going into this week. Focus on yourself. Focus on taking some of those shackles off in terms of your own insecurity and naturally just looking at somebody else's and thinking that they have your life. We have our own life and we need to be the masters of it and happy for it and not comparing it to others. I want everyone to have an amazing week and to also mentally prepare yourselves. Look, y'all, voting is coming up. If you have not seen all the mass amounts of violence that is taking place, this is a reality. People have died for the right to vote. There's systematically a scare tactic or scare tactics that are trying to be done to scare people from keeping them from going to the polls. Do not fall for the okey-doke. We are stronger together than we are separate. I hope to see everybody in November voting. In your Sundays, go with a group of people. I might do brunch after. I don't know. But yes, that is Joy Has Questions for the week. Love everybody, and I will talk to you later. Bye!